We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
First time?
Day spa?
I think that was taken out of context. As a negative connotation to it, which I don't appreciate.
You?
Six.
Dale Arnold.
If yes. Belichick was to be compared to something.
Anything else on Miami?
Oh. What are you comparing Belichick to?
Yeah, well, that's not his title.
The Grinch.
D-minus.
Rich Keefe.
It's not always that.
Sam Darnold.
You know, we're unstoppable as an offense, or we can be.
What are you doing, Sam?
What are Sam Darnold's hobbies?
I want to kiss you.
Just like any other team, they're not unbeatable.
Boom-shakalaka!
Dale and Keefe. Middays.
And Ricky Snails Jones.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. It is Monday Night Football tonight. The only game left in the league is tonight down in New Jersey at MetLife Stadium, the Patriots and the New York Jets. When last I checked, I think it was a 9.5 point.
10 in a lot of places now.
10.5. Nine and a half, ten, somewhere in there. If you go to WEEI.com, Andy Hart has a piece, the headline of which is, "The Jets might not like Tom Brady when he's angry."
Oh, Hulk reference, Wiggy. You like that?
I do like that.
In fact, he even works Bruce Banner into the body copy of the story as well.
Who did he steal that from? Because he is not a
comic book guy.
He's not a movie guy.
Here's the opening line of his piece. Like Bruce Banner,
wow,
Patriots quarterback Tom Brady can turn into an almost unstoppable beast when he's angry.
Oof, I like that.
He does, in parentheses, say, of course, the New England field general is pretty darn good when he's happy, too.
And that's a good point.
But find out that, guess what? He's always angry.
Oh, yes. I like that. One of the great lines.
Right. So it is a 9.5, 10-point spread for tonight's game. Patriots favored despite the injury issues. And that might be because the injury issues for the Jets might be just as bad. You've got a story brewing down there between an offensive lineman named Kelechi Osemele, who he says he needs surgery for a torn labrum.
Mm.
He says the only way they say he can play with this torn labrum is using Toradol, and he doesn't like doing that.
Right.
The Jets say, no, he's good. No, you're good. You can play. You can get this all fixed up in the offseason. He didn't show up at practice Saturday. They fined him for not showing up at practice on Saturday. And the fact of the matter is that four of the Jets' five offensive linemen tonight will either miss the game or play hurt. That is not a good recipe for Sam Darnold with a Patriots defense that is locked and loaded every single game.
So you know how they put out the injury report every week, and it's normally Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, mm-hmm. and then on the Monday night game, it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and you have to have the list of guys that either were limited, did not participate, or if they're dealing with something, even if they were full participants, it says full, right? And so the Patriots all week had their list of guys, and Gordon and Izzo and Lacoste, and then they recently changed Burkhead status to out. So the Patriots had a total of 8 players appear on their injury list this week, right? 4 of them are out. The other 4 are all listed as questionable. We'll see what happens. How many players do you think the New York Jets at one time had on their list this week?
16.
25.
Whoa.
That is half their roster. Now, they have ruled out Albert McClellan. Then they have another 6 guys at last check that were doubtful. They have another 8 guys that are questionable. And then the rest of that list were full participants because they got rid of the probable game status.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes me think, either one, they're the most hurt team in the league, or two, they're just jerking around with the injury report. That's a little much, isn't it? They have 25
guys is a lot.
That's half the... You've ever seen that? 25 guys on the injury report?
Seems a little heavy.
Yeah. Seems a little much, although... you know, one of those guys is the guy that's dealing with the, you know, he's fighting with the team about it, right? They had a lot of guys that were just held out of practice for a while.
By the way, that seems like a non-starter to me. Wiggy is a player. If you say, man, I got a torn labrum, I talked to my doctor, I got a torn labrum, I got to get this fixed. And the team says, no, you're good, you can go.
Go out there or we're not going to pay you.
But this seems like there's
a
grievance that's going
to do that.
Yeah, it seems like there's going to be a grievance that's filed there because... Who's telling him that who's telling him? Is it an independent doctor? Or is it his own doctor who's saying?
Hey, I think he went to his doctor.
Right. So his doctor's saying one thing. The team doctor.
Which, by the way, you get to do.
Right.
Right. And he himself is saying, like, I can't play. And they're like, sure,
and I don't want to do the Tordal shot. Mm-hmm. So there's a that's like one of them situations when you think about that. That, like, why are we not talking about this? This is bigger than it really is.
And if it was a bigger name player, I think.
And
if
it's
it was
like
a
skilled
offensive lineman. Yeah, if it was Sam Darnold.
Right.
Or
right. Because even Trent Williams, I mean, this is similar ground. Right. Trent Williams is then having a real beef with the training staff of his team.
Gronkowski
and
had a little situation here.
Gronk did, yeah.
And so when
that was a bigger story because it was Gronk, right?
Right. When you get into that situation, but as a player, and you're like, I can't play. And the team's going, no,
sure
you're good. You can play.
What?
Wait a second.
Yeah.
What's more important, my health or me going out there and
– Martellus Bennett had an issue with the Packers. Remember, he like tried to throw their training staff under the bus, and then other players were like, nope, that's a Martellus issue.
Now, it's fairly safe to say, based on the kind of flotsam and jetsam competition that the Patriots have played against this year, this is the best quarterback they've faced.
Yeah, it is.
They didn't face him the first meeting, obviously. He had a little kissing issue.
Well, he was making out with all of Manhattan and then couldn't play. He was very sleepy, too, during that time.
It
takes a lot of naps. And you really, your spleen is at risk, Dale.
Yeah, it is the best quarterback they've played, but it's not like he's a good quarterback.
No, but if you assume now Roethlisberger's had a much more storied career, I understand that. But as it turns out, we found out that he probably wasn't healthy when he did play against him.
Now, how do you guys feel about Danny Dimes with the Giants? Because he was
Darnold's probably the best guy.
I think Darnold's better. He's got more experience,
He might
obviously.
Not be
He's
better
He's only got
long-term.
More experience, Donald. But both of them, as of right now, what we've seen.
They're the two best.
Right, but they're Jads.
Just another dude.
They're just another dude.
Just
and
another
again,
dude.
With this defense, we know what this defense does to Jads.
Yeah, kills them.
And for all the guys Chews listed
up,
on that Patriots injury report that you were talking about,
yeah,
they're almost all on offense.
The offense is messed up.
The defense,
Patrick Chung's the one guy on the injury report.
The defense is fairly healthy here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's good.
The defense is great. I mean, it's the best defense in the league. And we're going to get that, I think, proven out more and more once they start to play stiffer competition.
Right.
But this – hey, they've had six games, and they've been bad offenses, but they've dominated them.
And I think this is what they'll do to a guy like Sam Darnold, who's
good. Yeah,
this is his third start of the season.
Yeah,
and when you look at it, he hasn't really done anything special.
He beat Dallas.
He beat Dallas, but he really wasn't good against Buffalo.
No, but Buffalo's got a great defense.
Okay, so there you go.
So there's your point. Yeah,
there's
you think
your
it
point.
Lines up with that. Yeah.
If you're not good against a good defense, what do you think's gonna happen when he goes against this Patriots defense?
But they got some guys, and it was because they had Luke Falk last time. I mean, Le'Veon Bell just got absolutely destroyed because the Patriots said, "All right, this guy's good. Let's take him out, and you don't have to worry about Luke Falk." So you did.
Yeah.
And that may still be the same game plan, but Sam Darnold can actually complete passes, unlike Luke Falk. So you would think Le'Veon Bell would be better tonight. I'm not saying he's going to have a great game because, with the exception of Frank Gore, most running backs have struggled against the Patriots. But they also have a couple of guys. Like Robbie Anderson is the perfect guy for that one 70-yard touchdown that Golden Tate had. And I don't care if it hit Jonathan Jones in the finger or not.
But that's what you're going to need,
though.
You can
get a big play from Robbie Anderson.
But you're going to need a play. When you look at Robbie Anderson against Dallas, and Sam Darnold's completing passes to him. Mm-hmm. He's running down the middle of the field with nobody around him. Now
that's unlikely. Now,
yeah. Now, even with the Jonathan Jones play against the Giants, perfect position, tips the ball. Granted, it has to be one of those perfect throws. And then the other thing that we know that this defense does is they get after the quarterback. So you better spit that thing out quickly, because if not, they're coming for you.
And we said their offensive line is a mess.
Right.
Yeah, and they have given up 25 sacks in 5 games. Now, again, Luke Falk played 3 of those games, and you could probably, without watching all of the games, with the exception of the Patriot game.
He probably was responsible for a bunch of those.
Yeah, I think some of those are on him, and a quarterback that doesn't have a clock in his head at all. But still, that's 5 sacks a game.
And the Patriots are what, 20?
Yeah, I'm not sure what it is, but a bunch.
They're like 26 sacks on the air defensively, so. Yeah. They get after the quarterback.
Do you buy into a Demaryius Thomas revenge game? Could he have a big game? Because he's steaming.
No.
No?
No, not one bit. You in order to
he's
have
not going to torch him tonight?
Yeah, no. No.
Braxton Berrios revenge game.
I don't like that. I like
probably
that one
not,
even worse,
yeah.
probably.
Because
yeah,
you look at Demaryius Thomas has, what, I want to say it's eight catches for...
He has nine catches in three games.
Yeah, for
108
yards.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, he's going to come out, and he's going to have...
Yeah, maybe he's extra motivated, though, because he thought that the Patriots really burned
him. He's going to have a 12-catch game for 150 yards and two touchdowns against this defense?
Listen, I'm just asking the question.
Did the defense decide not to show up?
No, I don't think they're going to allow a touchdown. I'm back on my they're not allowing touchdowns anymore.
Right.
They're not going to allow one here
And
tonight.
If they do allow a touchdown...
It's a fluke thing.
It better be perfect.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's going to be something silly.
Or where three guys fall down, or they decide not to tackle the guy running the verse in Washington.
Right. Now, their offense is much, much better. There's no doubt it's much, much better, but it was so bad that first time around. And they scored two touchdowns against the Patriots, but that was the pick six on Stidham.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gunner fumbled a punt, and they returned that for a score. So if you clean that up, if you take that out, they were 30 points better than them at home here against Falk. So now Sam Darnold and in New York, how many points is that worth? It's better. You're better, but
and a skill position roster for you, I mean, that's pretty depleted.
Good point. Yeah, no Josh Gordon.
I mean, we don't know about Edelman. I mean, he was listed on there.
He's
as questionable. He'll play.
He's questionable. For
but I don't know.
Four weeks.
I don't know how good he'll be. I don't know. You know how long he'll last.
Well, he was pretty good against the Giants.
Yep.
So I expect to be what Edelman is. You know what we've seen him last week against the Giants.
Philip Dorsett, do you think?
See, that's the issue. That's the one question mark I would have is the hamstring injuries are one of those injuries that they're nagging. They could take a long time. You can't really. And he's a guy that has speed, and it's about opening up. And if you can't really do that, how?
I think we're talking about a big Myers game tomorrow. Because whether Dorsett plays or doesn't, he's probably not at 100%.
Right.
And I think Myers.
I think a big Ben Watson game, too.
Oh, they could go
for
that.
I mean literally like 10 catches for Ben Watson tonight.
Wow,
Lord.
Wow.
Holy smokes.
I was thinking maybe like 5 or 6.
I just don't think they're going
to
have as much to throw to.
Yeah.
I think, and look, unless Sony Michel suddenly figures out how to run better, or unless this offensive line suddenly learns how to run block better, it's going to be the short passing game and Brady, and it's going to be Edelman, and it's going to be Ben Watson, I think. And I think you're going to see him much more involved. And I think part of that, too, is Brady wanting to get Ben Watson involved.
Well, you know what the other thing was the Jets game. Again, the big story is Sam Darnold didn't play, but James White also didn't play. That was the game that he missed, you know, the birth of his kid. So he wasn't there for the Patriots. They did have Rex Burkhead, but James White, I think, is better.
Right.
And so if you're talking about short passing game, I mean – you can only do so much to try to take Edelman and James White out. Those guys are the routes that they run and the plays that are called up for them. They usually those two will probably combine for 20 catches.
Well, what you're going to see is a big game out of Sony Michel tonight.
Really?
Big game.
That's what you're thinking?
I'm thinking $125.
We came up yesterday on NFL Sunday. We did an exercise.
Yes.
We did an exercise where we said Sony Michel's the 21st best running back in the league. Fair?
I have him a little bit higher.
All right. Some might have him a little bit lower, but that's
some might
where
have
he
him
is.
A little bit lower.
I think I would love to see a big Sony Michel game.
I feel like tonight's the night because of the fact that Philip Dorsett is still probably dealing with some type
last
of
last time they played the Jets, Sony Michel had 9 carries for 11 yards.
Right. That
seems suboptimal.
That was poor.
Right.
That was a poor game.
You got Dorsett, who's a little nicked.
Yep.
No Josh Gordon. I think we see a nice dosage of Sony Michel.
We could. We definitely could. He's going to have to really improve on that 1.2 yards a carry, though, from last time out.
That's why I said it's a big game for him.
Because that was one of those things where that game, you know, obviously there was never any doubt. It was 20-0 at halftime. The Patriots were running away with it.
Well, that's because they were throwing the ball all over the place.
No, they
that's
were.
Why we didn't see
yeah,
a lot
really
of Sony.
They didn't run much. But then there was a stretch there where they were punting a lot. And, you know, it got certainly a game where you knew they were going to win, and you even knew they were going to cover, but then there was just. But then all of a sudden, you give up these trash touchdowns late in the game.
Sony Michel right now is 18th in the NFL in rushing yards, total rushing yards.
Yeah, but I wouldn't rank.
But his
the facts
his,
1 through 18.
But his rushing average is poor.
Yeah, is it what three and a half yards?
3.5.
But
a whole yard less than last year.
Yes. There's some issues with the run game.
Yeah.
The thing that I look at when you look at this game is when you have some guys that are down in that passing game situation, that's where I think we'll see them try to run the football more.
Or do we see Brandon Bolden more?
And they know that the Jets can't score. Because even when
they
you played
really
them last
can't.
Time, they scored on a block punt,
No, which
isn't against the defense, and a pick six by Stidham.
But they went with a guy who's not – the quarterback that they started last time isn't in the league anymore.
Right.
Versus a guy that was the, what, number three pick in the draft.
But he's not playing like the number three pick who's been in the league and who's made a name for himself and is playing at a level that we go, oh, okay.
I don't know. He was not good Patrick, last week. I know he's not Patrick Mahomes. That was the MVP of the league. I know he was the MVP
good
of the
last
league.
Week, but yeah. what about week one?
That's the most recent week. His last week, he was good. 23-32, 338.
We can't take away.
That's 72% completion percentage, two touchdowns and a pick. Only sacked twice, which, as we know, is way down from their team average for a week-to-week basis.
What about week one when he went 28 of 41 for 175 yards? I mean, we can't factor that.
And they built a 16-point lead, and then they blew it.
And that was you said it was against a good defense.
Yeah.
This defense here is a lot better than Buffalo.
You're just going with the one bad game that he played.
No.
And then the one good game that I mentioned, you're throwing that one out?
No, I'm not throwing that one out. I'm basing it on the defense that I know he's going against.
He's going against a great defense. There's no doubt.
Right. And
he's not just some slap quarterback.
When he goes against good defenses, we have two samples on him, right?
Yeah.
Against a good defense and a defense that's probably not so good
in the Dallas defense?
Yeah, maybe a couple pass rushes I'll take, but
they're not bad.
And the two inside linebackers. But when you look.
That's four guys all of a sudden. It's a good list.
11 guys on the field.
Oh, I know. But those guys make up for a lot, don't they?
And over a third of them you like.
Yeah.
But if you throw on the football, what about the back end? So you look at the two games he played, and you look at both of the defenses. Against a good defense, he struggled. Against an okay defense, he played well. But he's playing against the best defense in the NFL.
So I just looked real quick. His 3.5 yard average is 41st in the NFL.
Yeah, it stinks.
Yeah.
Now, there are some guys. Like Le'Veon Bell, for example, is worse.
Right,
because
we did that exercise, and there were a bunch of guys below him that have lower.
Dallas, by the way, points allowed per game is 7th in the NFL.
Okay.
So Sam Darnold is in two games. This will be his third game. Will play three top seven defenses. So, I mean, this isn't beating up on these crap teams and putting up monster numbers. He's only had two games.
He's only played in two games.
And I don't think he's been bad. I think what's he got for a quarterback rating? 97.6.
Well, I think
about where Brady is.
A lot of that came from the Dallas game, right? Would you agree?
Yeah, it was 113.8 against Dallas, 84.9 against Buffalo.
Man. So you'll see.
I think he's going to have a tough night tonight.
Yeah, I think he will too.
I think this defense is so good.
But I don't think we're fully grasping the improvement. I'm not putting Sam Darnold in the Hall of Fame or even saying he's a Pro Bowler. I'm just saying the last guy they trotted out there was one of the worst quarterbacks that has probably started an NFL game in years. Like Luke Falk.
I understand that point.
You show up with zero chance
to win.
That's almost
as bad as Andy Dalton, for crying out
loud. I understand that point.
You have no chance to win with that guy. At least
I understand
Sam Darnold,
that.
You show up and you're like, all right, we have a guy who we know can run every play that we have in the book.
Yeah, you're trotting out a guy that has potentially could have a high ceiling.
Yes.
But as of right now, he's just average.
Manish Mehta said he's the best quarterback in the division.
Yeah, he said that at the beginning of the year. I don't know if he's changed his tune.
I don't know.
Necessarily.
Well, with some of these people, we did the other exercise where Peter King said that the Patriots had the worst
skill
position in the NFL. And
that
then we
crazy.
Went through and we're like, they might be top 10.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad skill positions in the NFL.
The problem for the Patriots, in addition to the fact that they've got some guys hurt, I understand that. Their problem has been and will continue to be the rest of the season, the offensive line. You got a left tackle who you hope to God, a kid who's got like a game and a half of NFL experience can come back and play left tackle for you. I mean, you hope to God that he's going to come save you.
Imagine
that's the one good news, at least, is at least there is some hope there. It's not like,
this is
the group. Yeah, it's not like the Red Sox bullpen where like, you guys figured out because after the deadline, this is it. This is who we have.
It's not like David Andrews is coming back to replace Ted Karras.
No, unfortunately not.
But I don't know if Ted Karras is the bigger issue versus
the
left tackle.
It's 100% left tackle. Marshall Newhouse?
I put them 1 and 1A because I think center's killing them right now.
I think Newhouse is
Newhouse is the worst. I agree, but.
Remember when Cam Fleming would have to start games? Remember, mm-hmm. There were certain times where due to injury, like Cam Fleming would pop up. Is Newhouse worse than Cam Fleming?
Yeah,
I think he is.
Yeah,
I mean, and you never wanted to see Fleming. Fleming was like the third, or he's like the fourth tackle.
Yeah,
and they would trot him out there, and you're like, oh my god. And even he would sort of make do. Marshall Newhouse just seems much
worse. There's times where Newhouse is just like a turnstile, and guys are just running by
him. Spinning around.
So it sounds like you're talking yourself into thinking the Jets could win this thing.
No.
Well,
I'm
trying to talk up Darnold. They're not going to win. I think the more entertaining question is, do they cover the 10?
Yeah.
That's probably the bigger question.
Here's what I've kind of, you know, have come to the conclusion with the Patriots are. They're going to struggle offensively.
Yes.
Through the first half, try to figure out where they're going. Their defense is good enough to put them in a position where they'll be able to maybe get a touchdown or two and maybe a field goal. So they'll go up into halftime 14-3, 10-0, 17, maybe 7 if a team gets lucky. Then they'll figure it out a little bit in the second half. Defensively, they'll make plays. They'll give them a surefire field. Maybe they'll score off a turnover. And then they'll be able to pull away. But in the first half...
Yeah, you think it could be close there?
It's close, but it's like, all right, let's... When we get going here? Mm-hmm. But you're going to look at the first half of the game and go, man, this defense shutting them down again. And that ultimately is going to be... You know, with the defense, it's a four-quarter game that they put out there where the offense, sometimes they struggle in the first half and they pick it up in the second half.
It's kind of a good build-up, though. You go from Jets with Darnold, and then you get the Browns. You know, and Baker Mayfield's up and down, but at least they have real receivers that you have to cover. They have a real running back. And then you get Baltimore, who's looked really good and had a monster win yesterday. So after a lot of really bad opponents early on, they sort of start to build up a little bit each week.
You look at the, and I hate to play the part of Dan Shaughnessy here, but the whole tomato can premise here. In the AFC, right now the second best team in the conference is the Buffalo Bills.
I think it's the Colts.
I'm just saying, if you look at the records, they're 5-1, and the Colts are four and two.
Yeah, records. I just think the Colts have two signature wins.
Yeah, the Colts and Miami should have won yesterday.
Buffalo. I just can't trust Buffalo. They might find a way. They might. Like, I wouldn't even put a lot of money on them making the playoffs. Like, there's always a chance. Like, with Josh Allen, and their defense is good, and there's some wins in front of them. But when they play some real teams,
they're 3-0 on the road.
Yeah, but yesterday exposed them a little bit.
But who are they against?
Don't you agree with that? Yesterday's game against Miami, you look and go, if you are really turning the corner and you're really one of these teams, you should be able to.
But teams have those. The Patriots have those, Wiggy.
They had one.
Like
season.
The game in Miami last year where they should have killed that team.
But this year,
they're 6-0. I understand that. But to have a clunker game against an inferior opponent is not unusual.
But you've had plenty of clunkers. You should have lost. The Jets should have beat you in week one.
They should have lost to the Jets.
You should have lost to Cincinnati.
They should have lost to.
So they've had plenty of clunkers. It's one thing to have, you know, one clunker, and then you're blowing the rest of the Scribinis out. But when you're playing against the Scribinis and you have to...
Like, they have an incredibly easy schedule. Everybody gives the Patriots crap about their schedule, but it's going to start to turn around when they do face the Chiefs and start to face the NFC East, and they face a couple of other, like the Texans, even though I know they lost. The schedule for the Bills is just...
But I'll give the Colts credit. They went to Kansas City, beat Kansas City. Then they hosted.
Yeah, they're the second best team right now.
Then they played a very good team in Houston, which was a signature win for them, and they were able to win that game. When you look at the Buffalo Bills and you look at their schedule, are they 5-1 or 6-1?
They are now 5-1.
So 5-1. When you look at the wins, you could easily look at those games and go, wait a second, they could have lost.
Jets, Giants, Bengals, Titans, Dolphins.
Right. And you go, wait a second, they could have easily lost this game. At least with the Patriots, even though they're struggling and they're having some struggles
offensively,
they're still blowing teams out.
617-779-7937. We get right back to the calls with you guys as we continue to talk about tonight's Monday Night Football matchup at MetLife Stadium, the Patriots.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Jets.
Right back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
Everyone's watching.
Their defense is good. They have been all year, but just like any other team, they're not unbeatable. So we just got to go out there, find the weakness in the defense, and keep working it. So that's what we're going to do on Monday night. I think, you know, we're unstoppable as an offense, or we can be. It's just up to us how much we execute. I think we're capable of scoring so many points, and with our offensive line too, the way they played last game, you know, with the way we've been running the ball and the way they've been protecting, you know, I think sky's the limit for us.
Well, what's he supposed to say? He's the quarterback of the team.
He's confident.
He really didn't say anything bad.
He's supposed to say that's exactly like
But that. You know what the Patriots are going to do. They're going to take that, oh, we have a weakness?
Oh,
what's
please.
The weakness? Because he also said we have to find the weakness. He didn't say something like, oh, we've found a weakness. Wait till you see. Like, he's not making any bold predictions. He's not putting the Patriots down at all. He says how good they are. But he has to have confidence in himself. But you know the Patriots defense is taking that. They're using it as bulletin board material because they have to create stuff where there isn't. Because who's talking badly about the Patriots right now? Nobody.
There's nothing bad to say.
Right. Unless you're talking about
the offense. We're not unbeatable? How dare you?
Unless you talk about the offense.
Right, for sure. The Patriots defense, meanwhile, is probably looking through every blog in the country looking for something mean said about them, and they can't find anything.
But when you say that, you know, there's a weakness.
No, he said we have to find.
We have to find that weakness.
We haven't found it yet. We have to find. You do have to find a weakness.
Right. And they are beatable.
I don't know what their weakness is right now, but that's not my job
when
to find
When you say
it.
They are beatable, that's a little maybe bulletin board material.
I guess. There's been one undefeatable beatable? Team ever.
Yeah.
You gotta find those little nuggets.
Yeah, I know. And they're using it. And I guarantee you, because I feel like they're going to win tonight, the Patriots. I guarantee you afterwards, either Kyle Van Noy or somebody makes a little comment, like a little bit of a, like, I guess they couldn't find the weakness.
Right,
or like
right.
Something like that, I guarantee
Well, I guess
it.
We're not, I guess we are unbeatable.
No, I don't know if they go that far.
So Peter King, writing in Football Morning in America today, says, and I quote, "I think there haven't been this many serviceable to good receivers available at the deadline in some time. Mohamed Sanu, Emmanuel Sanders, Devontae Parker, A.J. Green. Bengals will balk, but come on, he's 31 and won't be part of the long-term fix if there is one. And maybe even Robbie Anderson, if the price is right. It's a good year for receiver-needy teams." I don't believe the Jets are going to trade Robbie Anderson to the Patriots, but...
You never know. They made a deal. They sent him to Demaryius Thomas. The Patriots sent them earlier in the year.
Well, if the Jets know, like, listen, our season...
If that's the best pick you can get,
yeah, and we're not going
should.
Nowhere,
right?
And we'll use this pick to ultimately flip it into the guy that we're going to build into this organization and build into our future. Why not?
But you notice Stephon Diggs not on that list. That's because the Vikings have all of a sudden turned things around.
Yeah, well, and he looks great.
And Thielen got hurt too.
Yeah, so Diggs is not going anywhere.
Keenan Allen should be on that list.
He should be. The Chargers stink.
Yes,
but I think he's like their best player, so they're not getting rid of him.
But
they're going to end up.
In that organization, shouldn't they be tearing it down and saying, all right,
yeah,
it's time
should.
To rebuild?
Yeah,
we
probably.
Need a new quarterback.
They definitely need a new quarterback. Out of Emmanuel Sanders and Mohamed Sanu, because A.J. Green, the other thing I read about A.J. Green is he might not even be ready until like week 10, like after the deadline now.
Yeah, and supposedly it was going to be week 7,
yeah,
but
that was,
now that's been delayed. And
that came and went.
He's probably looking out on the field going, I don't want to play with that.
Like, ugh, God, no thanks.
Besides, even if he's trying to throw it to me, he's just going to throw an interception anyway.
I just feel like he's had the best career out of all the guys on that list, but he's probably unlikely to... Like, I wouldn't feel super confident that he would be healthy enough to play.
Right, that would scare me.
So don't you think it comes down to Sanders and Sanu?
I would think so. I would think.
And I would rather have Sanders.
And I would much rather have Sanders, but I would take Sanu. And if you got Sanders, based on the way he plays and we've seen him play, he kind of fits that mold where he can be that inside guy and run some slot routes. He can do some things from the outside.
I feel like he and Edelman could almost be interchangeable, where, like, you know, Kern's been talking a lot about how they want to move Edelman more to the outside. Mm-hmm. Well, Sanders and Edelman could probably like ping pong back and forth.
Right.
Peter King says that if he's Elway, he puts Emmanuel Sanders on the block, hoping to get two picks in the first five rounds.
Yeah. I'd give him a four.
I'd give him a three and a five.
Sure.
Two
I don't
picks.
Know what they have. I feel like last check, did they not have any fives and like a bunch of threes or whatever it is? You can make it work. I would trade picks in a second for Emmanuel Sanders.
Because Emmanuel Sanders, if he comes here, he instantly makes that offense better like that, where you go, not A, B, go, oh, wow, we could go 19-0, but you go, there's that offensive weapon we need.
He's more productive than this version of Josh Gordon.
Yes.
And he's obviously better than Philip Dorsett and Jacoby Myers. So he slots in there as number two and could maybe be another reliable guy.
He becomes your 1B, and that would bump Julian up to your 1A.
Because Edelman, Sanders, and White, those three guys being the most targeted players, that's good enough to win with.
Oh, yeah.
That's good enough to score a bunch of points.
Yes.
I mean, you might be able to get by even now because the defense is so good. But if you add Sanders, you feel just so much better about
right.
the offense.
And now the other guys, the Dorsett and the Gordon,
they kind of fall into where
they
are better.
They fall into those suited. Roles that they need to fall into.
Yeah.
So that's the situation from an acquisition perspective. I read something else over the weekend that said the Patriots might need a tight end more than they need a wide receiver. And I might say they need an offensive lineman more than they need either of those other two things.
They're just really banking on Isaiah Wynn, I guess. If they don't acquire a lineman, that would mean they're just saying Isaiah Wynn's
Isaiah
the guy.
Isaiah Wynn's going to come back.
We're going to roll the dice with that.
And he's played about a game and a half.
Yeah. But it was a good game and a half.
He's due to have a stretch of games.
He was good, though. For that game and a half, we got to give the, you know.
It was like Garoppolo in 16.
Right.
Game and a half, but that was a good game and a half. He looked pretty good.
The tight end thing, I think you could maybe make a move to do both the tight end and the wide receiver.
I mean, that would be ideal.
Right.
I think it's just more important whether it is a wide receiver or a tight end, just another guy to get on that level where it's not unreasonable for him to have 8 targets a game. Right, and if it's a tight end, fine. Besides O.J. Howard, and apparently the report is the Bucs said no. I mean, that could change in a week. But if they were inquiring about O.J. Howard, that's great.
Tyler Eifert, maybe?
Maybe, but a lot of these other guys are kind of just Jads.
Okay, so, if you could have O.J. Howard or Emmanuel Sanders, which one would you take?
I think Sanders. Just because Brady loves the veteran guy a lot. And Howard, I know he was a first-round pick. Mm-hmm. I know he's Alabama, but he's still pretty young.
24 years old.
I think it was his third year in the league.
Yeah.
So I feel like Sanders would be – I think Sanders would make Brady happier, which would make me happier.
Okay.
Howard would be more of a long-term move. Sanders more of a short-term move.
Because you don't have a future tight end. That's
you
true.
You don't. Right.
So Howard might check off a couple of boxes there. Mm-hmm. I'd certainly be interested in Howard.
While you might not think the quarterback's going to be here very long, you do think the head coach is going to be here for
right.
a while.
I do.
And he's thinking about things beyond this year.
Right, and you do have a young receiver in N'Keal Harry that hopefully is going to be that future guy or maybe next year, and then you'll be able to
kind
of kill two birds with one stone if you get a Howard. But I do like I think Emmanuel Sanders gives
he
you.
He seems perfect.
He gives you more production right away, instantly, where I think O.J. Howard might be able to give you production.
Yeah.
But what kind of production am I going to get?
Right. O.J. Howard's rookie year, he had 26 catches. His second year, he had 34
right.
in 10 games. And then this year, he has 13 catches in 6 games.
Right.
Now, I understand he's playing with Jameis Winston, but they've had a couple of big games. Mm-hmm. I mean, Chris Godwin looks like the best receiver in football, and he's in that same offense. So,
right.
I mean, O.J. Howard should probably be doing a little bit more than it
is. And he's never really done more.
No, he's been a disappointment.
Yeah, he's been a disappointment.
Overall.
So maybe you it's kind of the Eric Ebron thing. You go to a different location.
Does Saban give him a clean bill of health with Belichick, do you think? Does he say, oh, yeah, get him. He'll be great for you.
Maybe he does. He was good down in Alabama.
No, he was great. He was a first-round pick.
He was, when you looked at O.J. Howard, I would say this. He was the poor man's version of Rob Gronkowski because he's like 6'6". He's a great athlete. He can run block, and he can run the seam. He's got good speed. So you look at him and go, wait a second, why are we not maybe utilizing this guy better, or he's just not working out? And maybe it's a change of atmosphere for him, and he comes here and he does well.
The Twitter site Boston Sports Info has got a great stat. Pats, Jets, last 6 games, last 6 times they've met. Patriots have 22 offensive touchdowns. The Jets have 3.
Well,
the last 6 meetings, their offensive touchdowns have come from Curse, Curley, and Safarian Jenkins.
Curse, Curley. Remember, wasn't the Safarian? What was up with the Safarian Jenkins one? That was some sort of weird rule. Remember?
That was it.
It was
a 1-yard pass from Josh McCown back in 2017.
You're thinking of the turnover, the one that they went and reviewed.
That's what I was thinking of.
And,
okay.
And ultimately, it was a touchdown, but then they turned it over to a non-touchdown.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. It was sort of.
There are 3 offensive touchdowns, a 16-yard pass to Curse from Josh McCown.
Nice.
A 31-yard pass to Curley from Josh McCown, and a 1-yard pass to Safarian Jenkins from Josh McCown.
They might want to get Josh McCown back by the sound of it.
Well, he's backing up in Philly.
Make a trade.
They had the opportunity when he was on the ESPN desk.
That's true.
And of the commodity, of the 22 Patriots offensive touchdowns in the last six Jets meetings, how many guesses would you have to have before you got to Matt Lengel?
That's lower on my list.
Way down there.
Nice tight end, though.
Matt Lengel, an 18-yard pass from Tom Brady.
Honestly, they could use Matt Lengel this year.
Right now, he'd be the starter on this team.
Well, didn't they upgrade, though? Didn't they upgrade at the tight end position with Tomlinson and Ben Watson?
Yeah, this could be your best tight end performance of the season tonight.
If Ben Watson,
even if Tomlinson just blocks and Sony Michel has a good game, and then we can give some of the credit to Tomlinson, you would say it is a net positive.
And if Ben Watson goes out there, catches three passes,
or as Dale said, 10.
Oh, see,
I think you're going to see Eric Tomlinson be the blocking tight end.
I hope so.
Ben Watson be the pass catching tight end.
10's a little high. I was going to go 5. I was going to.
Not only that, Dale's, I think he's going to have a touchdown pass tonight.
Okay.
Eight.
Why not? Why not 10?
No.
But anything more than 2 is an upgrade.
Yeah, right. Right. You'll take 3 right away. 3 from the tight end and some good blocking, and holy smokes, you have just improved.
I don't think LaCoste or Izzo in a single game has caught more than 2 passes.
I don't think they've blocked a soul either. So, I mean,
can't block us.
No, they probably couldn't. I got a good swim move.
Back to the calls with you guys in just a couple of minutes. Wiggy's in the house. It's Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WE.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah.
Getting you through your workday, it's Dale and Keith on WEEI.
You know, give me one reason why you guys have been successful this season.
Yeah, well, I think it's one word, defense. You know, I think it's been about the defense and what those guys have been able to do. And we kind of sit on the sideline and I watch it. I'm like, this is unbelievable.
Right.
I mean, we're getting the ball. We're getting turnovers. Those are sacking the quarterback, good field position. I think there's definitely frustrations that I feel, you know, because we're not excelling.
Right.
But I also think it's important to have, you know, reasonable expectations for what, you know, we should accomplish. So the fact that we're 6-0, I'm happy about that. You know, I love the fact that we are 6-0, but, you know, I want us to be better too.
Tom Brady speaks to Randy Moss tonight as part of the pregame.
Oh, that'll be good.
And they had an excerpt earlier today that ran on SportsCenter. And Brady certainly didn't sound like, you know, he's sad being 6-0, obviously. He says the one word he'd use to describe their success this year is defense, and everybody else would too. But he acknowledged that he's frustrated that they're not pulling their weight here. I'm paraphrasing, but
yeah, no, I think that has been a theme all year, right? Mm-hmm. In the defense, we keep trying to look at who they've faced and say, all right, this is great, but
right.
But the reality is that the defense has been awesome. The offense has faced, I would say, one really, really good defense in Buffalo. And then some other defenses that really aren't great. And therefore, that's another reason why you're frustrated, right? Like, you should be scoring more points against some of these bad teams. And Brady is just expecting more, as he should. Even with some of the injuries that are there, I think he's just expecting the offense to look better. But there's sort of a weakness at every level. Maybe outside of quarterback, but there's a weakness at every level. The offensive line has issues, injury-related. The tight ends never got off the ground running. The wide receivers are having injury issues, and then you had Antonio Brown for a game and then gone. And then the running backs are underperforming, part of which is everything else included.
Right. Yeah, and there's definitely that frustration, but we kind of talked about this when that article came out. I think it was from Tara Sullivan. Where Brady was, you know, he was upset because he wasn't the focal point. No, he's definitely upset because he wants the offense to perform
to be good.
Well. Yeah, he wants it
to be better than what it is.
And I want to bet you if we would have went and we would have asked him 4 years ago, 5 years ago, hey, are you frustrated with the way the defense is playing? Remember when it was times and the offense was rolling and it was like, where's it? If they just had a defense that could stop a nosebleed, they would win. And you get frustrated as a player when you look and you go, we're not performing well, or we are performing well if our defense could just perform a little bit better.
And he's sitting there now thinking, God, this defense is great.
Right.
If we carry our weight,
we're going to be unstoppable. Right. We just got to carry our weight. That's all.
Yeah, and I think he realizes that, but he also, I want to say, he knows that they need a little bit of help for them to get to where I think he'd be satisfied with. And that's the most important thing when I look at this offense, is they need a little bit of help from somebody outside of the organization. So going after an established player, because then that would get him to the point where he would feel like we can really do some things.
Because the offense, so in 20 years, and how many years do you think the defense has been better than the offense? It definitely happened earlier in his career,
right,
a couple of times over, and it's happening this year. I think you could make a case.
But he was still pretty good in 04 or 03 through for what, 28 touchdowns? Didn't he lead the league in touchdown passes?
He did actually in 02. So 04, for example, if you just want to take the stats, and again, the stats can be, I think, a little misleading, especially with the offense because it's short fields when the defense and whatever else. But just if you take the raw numbers, in 2004, the Patriots were second in the league in points allowed, and they were fourth in points scored. So they were both elite,
but one was
slightly better.
Yeah,
right.
When you're top five in either category, then you have a good defense and you have a good offense.
Right.
What we don't know, or at least ESPN didn't make clear, is when the Moss interview was done. Now, Brady's wearing a suit.
So what does that tell you?
It leads me. Well, it would lead me to believe that it happened like yesterday after they landed.
Oh, maybe.
That, you know, that it literally happened like last night. They landed in New York, New Jersey, wherever, you know, and that he basically did it because he was all dressed up. If he came up here to do it, I don't think Brady would have been wearing the suit the way he was. The reason I ask that is, does Randy Moss bring up the Netflix thing?
Bet he doesn't.
No.
Bet there's no chance.
No.
And either he didn't know about it yet, or even if he did know about it, to make Brady comfortable and to do all that, especially because it's Moss, they're probably like, hey, we're just going to talk about
the team. Moss talk about, we were in here doing an NFL Sunday show, and that's when Antonio Brown got the heave-ho or something of those along those lines, and they really didn't, Tim or Teddy didn't really say much about Antonio Brown.
Chris in Rhode Island. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing well, and yourself?
Doing great.
Good.
Good. So I think, other than a couple of the R&T jokes that were told of the story that put the focus on Kraft, I think Brady thought that the context of the show was making fun of himself and the TB12 method. Because the premise of the show is that they steal your DNA, they steal your memories, and then they dispose of your human body. So I think he thought that it was more in line with making fun of himself.
I think you're right, Chris. I think when he originally signed on, I think you're right. I think he said this is sort of a wink and a nod to TB12. But I think between the time that he agreed and the time that he filmed it, there was a pretty major event
that happened.
Yeah.
So he may not have been had knowledge of the R&T jokes that may have been thrown in after the fact, because it was a goldmine to them. It's getting people talking about the show. I did watch the whole episode, and I did feel that it was more of a play on Tom Brady, because he doesn't appear. His name appears later on in the episode.
Oh, I think that's right. And I just think that it's just too much of a connection to Robert Kraft, obviously. He's walking out of a spa. I think if the spa thing never happened and he walks out, I think there are a lot of jokes about, oh, how does Brady stay young? How does Brady die?
The director probably put in some rewrites after the Kraft stuff as far as some of those other jokes.
Well, the one we played earlier.
Maybe.
Which was them pounding on the door.
Yeah, and Paul Rowe trying to get back in there.
And that sounds like it was a rewrite type
of thing. But I think that was already sort of the joke. That was sort of the implied joke, because leading up to it, they tell Paul Rudd, hey, go to this place and your life will be better. Like, you want to make your life better, go here. And he's thinking, well, really? I want to go to one of these type of spas? That's going to make my life better? And then, obviously, there is a switcheroo. That's not what you're getting, but that's what's implied.
617-779-7937. Pat's in New Jersey to take on the Jets tonight. We'll have more when we come back. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, Sports Radio WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.